There's blank preacher sitting there over there, just right over there, a little distance from me. Started, I think I told you about Sunday night, started to work down in the inner city of Boston. And boy, I'll tell you what, I mean, they know how to fire a preacher. I mean, I got to go a little bit. I was preaching a lot. And boy, he'd say, "Amen, preacher." I go a little further, he'd say, "That's what it says, preacher." I go a little longer, "Oh, amen, hallelujah, that's good, preacher." Boy, I mean, I think that's where I lost my voice. I really cranked up then. You know, he said, "This guy turns me on, boy. Let's go! Glory to God!" Yeah, the four beasts said, "Amen." The 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. So the first initial scene that you're going to be hit with when you get to heaven is the same thing that John saw. Because you see, John, this isn't something that was reserved for John only. John is a picture of the church. John is a type of the church. John is being transported into the future to see the same thing already, which is reserved for you to see when you get there. What we just read about in these last two chapters is what you're going to see, folks. And I mean, there they're going to be, amen, glory, hallelujah, singing and praising. That's the difference. The redeemed sing, the angels praise. And the four beasts shouting amen. I mean, you talk about take your shoes off and jump up and down and click your heels and have a fit. Have one. You're going to have one up there. Won't hurt you. My black preacher friend comes to visit me and preaches in our pulpit, but now we need to return the favor, amen? He says amen, we ought to say amen. He'd probably preach the paint right off the wall, man, and probably blister the place. Verse 6, or chapter 6. Still got 30 minutes. Good night, I get further than I thought I did. That's great, even with a 35-minute break for wrestling. We ought to have that every week. That's profound, brother. Yeah. Chapter 6, verse 1, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" All right, now, the seals. The seals are being opened. Now, as we go through the book of Revelation, we're going to have seven seals. Seven trumpets, seven vials, seven churches, seven candlesticks, seven persons. Lots of seven in the book of Revelation. All right, as it were, thunder. The noise of God, the voice of God is as thunder. You know, when I did that sermon not long ago on the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, I ran that deal out. I think I ran some scriptures out on that two or three Sunday mornings ago. You know, I mean, the voice of a lion. Do you ever, when you were a little kid, walk in the lion house at the zoo, and just about the time you hit the front door, he let loose for the goodness? Well, that was scary. You had 6 years of good growth, man. I mean, just, whoa. And that's the voice of God. You see, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. All right, so here's this fellow right here. What's he see? Boy, I'll tell you what I need to show you. I really need to show you this. You're familiar with my office. You know my office, Scott. In my library, there's that great big oil painting, that Filipino artist. It's stuck in my library somewhere. This will get you in the back door, and this is my office key, number 7. Okay? I'm no dummy. Scott's got number 13. I got 7. Why? That's right. Yeah. I'm going to explain it to you. Yeah. I want you to see it. What I've got that Scott's going to bring over to me is a picture painted by an unsaved Filipino artist. And that man who is a Christian, he's a man that's now a member of our church. He was in the military, a career man. He was stationed in the Philippines for a while. And he found this artist. And he said to the guy, he said, look, he said, would you paint for me Revelation chapter 6? He said, I'm not going to tell you anything about it. I want you to go home and read it. So the guy was an unsaved man. He went home and read it. Unsaved, Roman Catholic man. Kept reading Romans chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6. I want you to see what he painted. It's without anybody indoctrinating him, filling with catechism or anything. Just, he read it and painted what he read. I want you to see. It's far out, man. Far out. In other words, it's amazing what you can read if you'll just read it and believe it for what it says. It's amazing what you can get, you know. Nobody interpreting anything. Just, there it is. So I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given on him, and he went forth conquering and conquering. Now a lot of the commentators come on and say, well, this is Jesus Christ. Oh, now wait a minute. Let's go to Revelation 19. Let's look at some comparisons. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open. All right, here's the second time heaven opens. Remember, it opened the first time in Revelation chapter 4. Something's going up. Now it's opening up. This is the second time heaven opens in Revelation. Now someone's coming down. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Okay, we have a white horse here. We have a white horse in Revelation 6. But in here, the writer is called Faithful and True. That's not the case in Revelation chapter 6. Verse 12, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Many crowns. In Revelation chapter 6, he has a crown. Thank you, Scott. There's a difference. Many crowns and a crown. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Big difference between that and that writer and the one in Revelation chapter 6. Now, here's what this Filipino artist painted. Now, let's just look at it. He didn't get his angel right because he wasn't reading about it and didn't look at enough scripture about angels. He got wings on his angel. But that's all right. We're going to overlook that, you see. And what he's got here, he's got the four horsemen of Revelation chapter 6. We'll be reading about every one of them. Here's the rider on the white horse in the background, you see. And then the rider on the red horse, which is war. The rider on the black horse, death, or famine. Famine carrying the balances, you see. And the pale horse, you see, death. Now, he's got some interesting things over here. He's got some people dressed up in some clerical garb. And he's got a fellow right over here. I didn't paint it. I didn't paint it. He's got a fellow over here. He's got a hat on that looks like the Pope. Evidently, he must have read beyond Revelation chapter 6. He must have got to Revelation chapter 18. And he's got someone devouring the Pope, a beast-like creature. Just take a look at that a while. Well, that appears to be a clerical garb, you know. Your guess is good as mine, man. Yeah, see, no arrows. He just painted it the way the scripture says, with a bow. Doesn't say arrows, says a bow. Amen. You can look at it closer after class. Quite a painting. Yeah,
he doesn't have it there.
No, he wouldn't have that. He'd miss that. Because you'd have to have a lot of background to get that. But Alright, the rider on the white horse in Revelation 6:2 is none other than the Antichrist. Look with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's get our identity straight so that we can really get something out of the book of Revelation. Alright, now, if Jesus Christ is coming on a white horse, you can expect the chief imitator who has access to Revelation 19 to come on a horse. Amen? Coming on a white horse. Second Thessalonians 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither in spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. The day of Christ is the judgment seat of Christ for the Christian. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. See, the judgment seat of Christ, but we're in glory, man. We're in glory. And this is taking place on the earth. The man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, and we'll get into who that is later in the book, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know that, now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And so on and so forth. Verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonder. Right. So this fellow shows up on a white horse. And he comes with all deceiving and lying wonders. Power, the ability to perform miracles. As we'll examine, we'll find out that he can imitate the miracles of the prophets. He can call fire down from heaven like Elijah did. He can raise the dead like Jesus did. He can heal the sick. He can do all the signs and wonders. He can pick up a poisonous serpent. He can drink ammonia straight. He can speak in tongues. He can do all the signs. Every single one of them. And he shows up. And he shows up on a white horse with a bow, but no arrows. Someone brought it out. What's the sign of the ancient bowman? That's it. That's the sign of the ancient bowman. Any real bow hunter knows it. I know this fellow shows up and he says, peace, brother. Peace. And you can count on it, he'll have a great big cross hanging around his neck. You can count on it. And I'll tell you what else you can count on. You can count on the fact that he'll look exactly like the artists for the last several hundred years have conceptually painted Jesus Christ. That's what he's going to look like. Because you see, the way Jesus has been painted is not the way Jesus looks.
Amen.
Have you ever looked at one of those paintings close and studied them? His hair is not raven black in the picture. But according to Song of Solomon chapter 5 it is. Amen? In the pictures he's kind of a handsome, compassionate, angelic, dark auburn hair, blue eye Irishman. What he is. But what does Song of Solomon chapter 5 say in describing Jesus Christ? says he's ruddy. Means he's dark. His hair is a raven. He's got dark eyes. Isaiah 53 says he's not comely. That is, he's not a handsome man in the flesh. In plainer words, Jesus Christ had a rugged outdoorsman, Mediterranean fisherman, Oregon lumberjack appearance. Man's man. You got it. Not some prissy sissy that the women just kind of oh. He ain't a Burt Reynolds. Praise God.
Amen.
But he's going to show up looking as the conceptual picture has been painted. And the world's going to say, why? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 10, and with all deceitfulness and of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. God sending them strong delusion. This man shows up and he says, I'm the Lord. I'm Jesus Christ. And folks say, well, you sure look like him. That's the deal. You look just like the picture that's been hanging in my grandmother's parlor for the last 30 years. And there's going to be a lot of folks running around and been attending all the healing meetings, and they're going to say, yeah, but give us a sign.
Yeah, right.
Amen? They've been asking for a sign. You know, they asked Captain Coolman for a sign. They asked Oral for a sign. He gave them a red hot hand. And they asked for a sign. He says, okay, stand back. Fire! Oh, they're going to say, wow, heavy duty, man. He says, you want another sign? Yeah, we'd like another one. Take me to the graveyard. Lazarus, come forth. Now, if we get over to Revelation 11, we're going to find out that the whole world is going to see this all at the same time. You know how? Satellites and television. There's ABC, there's Howard Cosell. Oh. Extraordinary, spectacular event that we have ever witnessed. This is better than the thriller in Manila. There he'll be, right? I mean, ABC, NBC, CBS, Ted Turner Network, the whole deal, man. They're going to be there. Zero in. Just want to see another one? Yep. A few more half dozen miracles, and the whole world is going. And this fellow's going to come along and say, now look, I know you got a lot of world problems. He says, I know. By the way, in the real near future now, I've been scrounging and scrounging and scrounging for material on this. And I finally lit on some stuff that I got my teeth into. If I can get it all together, maybe even this Sunday night. But in the near future, I'm going to preach a message on why Israel annexed the Golan Heights. Well, that is profound. That is profound, I'll tell you that. And it tells me, Tony, he says, now wait a minute. You guys got problems. I mean, Syria is ready to cut Israel's throat. And Israel's ready to bomb Baghdad, and Baghdad, and the Egyptians are thinking out on their Camp David peace talks, and we got famine, and we got pestilence, and the Russians are about ready to blow everybody off the map, and so on and so forth, and the European common market which as of last year was a 10 federated nation conglomerate when Greece joined. 10 toes of Daniel. We'll get to there. We'll get to there. We'll get to there. 10 toes of Daniel. This fellow comes in. He's a Syrian Jew European. He's integrated, boy. Everybody accepts him. And he shows up and he says, now, look, we'll describe him in detail when we get to Revelation 13. Because that's where we'll really work on him. But he shows up and he says, folks, he says, I've got the answer. I can bring peace. That's the bow without the arrow. Peace. Peace. Sign of the bowman. Ancient sign of the bowman. For 6,000 years, the sign of the bowman has been right there. And he says, I got the answer. You just follow me. Revelation or Daniel chapter 9 says he enters into a covenant with Israel. All of a sudden he heads up the European common market nation, that 10 federated kingdom. All of a sudden, just like that, he's the kingpin. And he comes along and he says, now look, I've got the answer. Did you ever think it a coincidence, dear friends, that all of a sudden Europe is rising in protest? I mean, they're really hollering and screaming about nuclear warfare in Holland and Germany and so on and so on. I mean, what's the stage that's being set here? And this fellow makes a covenant with Israel, but in the midst of the week, halfway through the tribulation, he breaks it and he sets himself up as the abomination of desolations in Matthew. And he enters into the temple that has been rebuilt in Jerusalem, hadn't yet, but it will be by then. And he sets himself up as an object of worship, and he begins to seek out and destroy Israel. And that's when Jesus said, boy, you better know the signs of the times. To Jews, to Israel, he said, you better pray that you're not with child. He said, you better pray that your flight come not on the Sabbath. Amen? He said, because it's time for you to head for the Judean wilderness, for the hills. That's where you're going to go. And the Antichrist is going to try to destroy him with a flood. Revelation chapter 12. They're building dams over in that country like crazy. That's not without significance either. He's going to try to destroy him with a flood. I wonder why a flood. Well, that goes back to Genesis chapter 6. And Psalm 82. Lot through that thing, Lord. And God saves some of them. And he delivers them as on the wings of an eagle. The flying eagle. And he brings them food through the sheep nations. Do you ever study the judgment of the nations in Matthew 25? After the tribulation, the nations are lined up. This is not an individual judgment. This is a national judgment. And he says, And there he is. Jesus Christ is standing before the nations right after the smoke has cleared from the Battle of Armageddon. And he says, all right, now let me see. Here's a nation over here. Sheep nation. You know why? They took me in. Who me? Jesus said, I'm not speaking of me. I'm speaking of my children. I'm speaking of my people. I'm speaking of Israel. They took me in and they clothed me when I was naked. And they fed me when I was hungry. And they took care of me. Amen. He said, you did a good job. Okay. You know what? There's some nations that are going to enter into the millennium. All those people have to be saved? No. There's going to be some unsaved people walking in the millennium. There's going to be some unsaved people walking in the millennium. We'll get into that later too. And then he says, now you're a goat nation, man. You hated Israel. You were lined up in the battle armament, ready to put Jerusalem under. That's the rider on the white horse. That's the rider on the white horse. And so he went forth conquering and conquered. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Okay, in Revelation there is a red horse, Revelation 6:4, a red dragon in Revelation 12:3, and a red beast in 17:3. Red horse, red dragon, red beast. All finding their origin in Satan. Matthew chapter 24. Look with me. This will close. I'm talking that. I've had it. Matthew 24, verse 6. Let's back up a little. Verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There have been a lot like that over the last 100 years, but finally the finality will be in the Antichrist. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, for the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places, and these are the beginning of sorrows. So the red horse is a picture of war. It's a picture of bloodshed. And so the earth is going to be engulfed in bloodshed, even though they're going to be crying peace, looking for peace, stating peace, there'll be no peace. So I think we'll cut it off there. I can't finish the chapter anyway, so good thing for us. Let me say this to you. Some of the things that I've told you tonight, you're going to hear again, and some of them again and again and again. Because there's so much material coming at you, particularly if you're new to this. If you've been through dispensational truth and been through Matthew, it's not so heavy. Right? But if this is your first shot out of the chute, you know, I mean, this is the first rope around your neck, you know. You've never been bulldogged before. It's a little heavy. So I'm going to keep coming back at some of these things over and over again, because we'll hit these things. You see, in Revelation chapter 4 to 19, God takes us through the tribulation three times. He takes us through it three times, in one way or another. And so we'll cover it. God bless you. Good night. See you around.